paid commercial program and may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP, the federal leader in retirement planning seminars. Join NITP this morning for an hour of plain talk on planning your future. You've got questions, they've got answers.
Today it's myself and a guest, and it's Bob Lyon's day off again, because as you all probably know by now, he's a CPA in the heart of tax season, so we thought we'd give him another week to get things done for his clients, and we're going to have a nice hour ahead of us here on For Your Benefit. Our topic today is going to be an interesting one. It's not one that you have to get your calculator out for or your financial planning head on for, because it's going to be a topic all to do with life after retirement and working after retirement and the things people neglect to plan for sometimes. I think we all plan for the money part of it, making sure we have enough dough to pay our bills every month, but we never really think as much about what we're going to do with our time. So joining us today on the show is a specialist in the area of business and life coach. She's a certified business and life coach trainer and facilitator. She's a seminar presenter, as I am, for NITP, but of course on a different topic. And her name is Susan Samico. I'm sorry, I almost said it the wrong way again. Susan, welcome, and thank you for being with us today.
Thank you. I'm really glad to be here.
I'm glad you could come. So, and we also, of course, have Dorothy over there in the booth, who's going to keep our show on the air today. And if you want to call and talk to Dorothy so that she can get you through to us and ask questions about your life after retirement, our phone number here on April 12th, we're live at 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. on April 12th, is 202-465-3081. That's again 202-465-3081. And please feel free to call in and ask questions during the hour. If you are listening on the archive version of the show, you can send us an email and I'll make sure that I get it to Susan. And our email address is For Your Benefit. For Your Benefit, just how it sounds, one word, basically at nitpinc.com. That's nitpinc.com, nitpinc.com, For Your Benefit. So, Susan, what is this idea of life after retirement, or helping people prepare for that life after retirement? What is it exactly that you do?
Well, basically, most people focus very heavily on the financial part. So, and I always recommend, especially with how the economy has gone, to reevaluate the financial situation, to talk to, you know, their advisor. Since they're so focused on that, once that piece is taken care of, my part comes in with, okay, what's next? So you have the you don't have the money concerns, and then I'm dealing with everything but the financial.
Right. So do you find that people are mainly looking to work after they leave the workforce, or are they trying to figure out what to do with their time as far as maybe just spending it on leisure activities, or how do you see it divided up?
Well, it's depending also on the economic situation. I was giving a seminar last week for NITP, and a woman stood up and said that her 401k was now really a 201k. And so I'm glad she still had a sense of humor, but basically she said she's going to need to work for 3 more years that she had figured out. You know, it's like, it's what's next? What am I going to do? Am I going to focus in on part-time, full-time, volunteer? Do I just want to relax? And people are choosing everything. What we find with boomers is they want to work when they want to work and with who they want to work.
Yeah, I guess it depends too, maybe on the age that they're leaving federal service. Because I know we do a wide range of people who are leaving under law enforcement retirement as early as age 48 or 50.
Right.
All the way up to people who have 47 years of federal service. And those are the folks who probably are looking for the leisure activities, because they certainly don't need the money after retirement if they have that much federal service.
Well, and the fact, there's no better place to be right now than the federal government. Because even if you are leaving it, most people are taking with them benefits, pensions. So in a job pursuit where there aren't that many jobs out there today, you can much more easily get something, because you have the advantage of saying, I just need a salary, which employers love to hear because it's less expensive for them.
I don't think people realize how valuable those benefits are.
Very.
I mean, if you were the employer and you had to cover health benefits and a pension plan and matching 401k, those all add up.
Very.
In many cases, to half the salary.
Oh, absolutely. And people, you know, you're always going to have your naysayers, but I think that boomers have so many benefits that they can offer. For one thing, you can't replace experience. I know we talked a little bit before the show started, and I'm just finding more and more that that people want to be out there, and that younger people, it's a different work ethic. I'm not saying good or bad or right or wrong, but boomers have a very strong work ethic. There's a loyalty. They're also not looking to go in and climb the ladder. They're looking to go in and stay and offer what they have.
What they've already accomplished throughout their career. Yeah.
And one thing I found with them is money is not always the main motivator. It's wanting more purpose. A lot of people are looking for deeper meaning. Especially after going through an economic crisis.
Well, I think, too, that you leave federal service or you leave any job where you've had a title and you've had maybe even people working for you, and you don't want to just go from that to sitting on the back porch. So I think having a job where you feel where somebody needs you or you feel valued, I think it's probably just as important as the money. Like you said, they may not even need the money as much as
the value.
Just, you know, to feel worthwhile.
Yeah.
I think that's part of a longer life expectancy is to have that feeling of self-worth.
Yeah. And the self-worth, I'm glad you brought, that's such an important piece because so many people do feel like they don't have any value or what to offer. And all I can say is all the skills, all the strengths that you have right now are totally transferable to anything, really.
Right.
What I often tell people to do is to do a little bit of values work. When I work with clients, we will do values work because our values are who we are at our core.
And that relates to the job that you might be looking for.
Absolutely, because you want to be in an environment that supports your personal values, or else you're not going to really be too happy there.
That's true.
Yeah.
And I know as federal employees, and I don't want to group everybody into a classification or stereotype, but I think from the people I meet in federal service, we have a lot of core values. I mean, just the fact that we are doing service for our country in the form of federal employment means that you've got that core value of wanting to serve others.
Right.
And I think that's something that you can transfer into your next career.
Absolutely. Even when I'll often go through a part where we'll talk about part-time, full-time volunteering. There are so many more federal workers that are volunteering than I have found in other markets.
That's interesting.
And that's a great place to start sometimes once you leave.
Mm-hmm.
You know, another place that's great to start is by listening to what you've been saying to yourself, like, you know, when I retire, I would like to blah, blah, blah.
Right.
You know, and
do anything but what I've been doing.
Right.
Do you find that to be true that when people retire from, let's say, 30 years of basically doing the same type of work, that they are more interested to do something the complete opposite, or do they want to stay in the same field and use that experience?
Yeah, well, some of them do. The people that are more risk takers, they'll go for the opposite. They'll even go for retirement, and you know, as far as like where to live in another country.
Oh, wow.
Because they're much more
adventure-seeking.
Adventuresome. yeah. And a lot of people, most people, tend to like to stay in their comfort zone. That's why you'll find a lot of federal employees, once they retire, will sometimes go immediately to, I'll consult on what I've been doing, you know, things like that. But I'm finding more and more, because we're all living in our retirement 30 to 40 years, that people are, they're really looking for just meaning. And when I have somebody that I work with, they're not necessarily knowing what that is.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's an exciting time because it's a great time to explore.
Explore what they want to do.
Yeah.
I always get the question in the seminars, you know, and from the benefits point of view is, okay, I plan to work another 5 years. You know, I've got kids to put through college, or, you know, for whatever reason, I don't want to just not work right now. Mm-hmm. I want to keep going.
Right.
But should I spend those next 5 years just increasing the benefits and staying in federal service? Or should I go ahead and retire? Because these are folks who are eligible to retire. So take my retirement and then go find something else.
Right.
And one of the things, you know, that I try to say to people is that, well, what about the job security. Because if you take a job outside of your federal service, you don't know it's going to be there next year for sure.
Right.
So do you find that to be a concern of people as far as having security in that second career, or isn't it as important?
The security piece isn't as talked about, mm-hmm. but, you know, as far as I try and, like, get the conversation going, and that's not as much the concern. If that's the concern, they choose to stay longer.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Especially there is not – I see things opening up a little bit in all different areas, but it's not a great job market. So if you do want more security – you might want to stay a little bit longer.
Stay long enough maybe to afford to retire on your federal annuity and then have
Correct.
A second career perhaps yeah. after that
yeah.
ends.
And some people have already started.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the one thing with boomers is they're much more entrepreneurial.
Yeah.
A lot of them going towards internet businesses.
Right.
And I just say to that also, it's also with the risk taker. You've got to really research, because you have to think about, am I willing to put myself or my family at risk by possibly taking out a loan, going into debt or anything for
because some of those entrepreneurial things require startup costs.
Yeah,
you have to
absolutely.
Raise money or have money. In fact, I've even heard people say that, well, when you leave federal service, you can get a cash payment for your annual leave.
Right.
And there are some folks who have 400 plus hours of unused annual leave, so that cash check can be well over
$20,000. Right.
So I've heard people say that I'm going to use that money to start up my career,
right.
you know, buy the equipment I need or rent the space
right.
that I need to start my business.
Right.
So I know that is on the minds of
yeah.
some people.
And the one thing I recommend is, especially since I'm dealing with the non-financial piece, is make sure there's an emotional shift.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that you're talking to your spouse or partner if you have one. Because it isn't a decision that's just about yourself.
Right.
So the keeping the communications piece open is huge. I've also recommended something, I call it like a transition tip card.
Mm-hmm.
And it's for somebody who's not sure if they want to work again, or that they don't really have an idea of what they want to do.
Goal, yeah.
If you have something like a business card, which you can make up for free on sites like Vistaprint or iPrint, you get like 50 cards for no charge,
mm-hmm.
and they don't bother you. But you put your contact information on one side and just some bullets on the back of what your strengths or skills are.
So these are the things I'm capable of helping you with
right.
or doing for your company.
Right. And therefore, if you meet somebody, and it could even be on a volunteer basis, you mm-hmm. have something to give somebody. The nice piece about that is then they're much more free to give you their card.
So is that what they call networking?
That is what they call that. I call it, to me, there's nothing more important than relationship,
right.
whether it's personal or professional.
I think anything you do,
yeah.
I think talking to someone face-to-face or over the phone is going to be much more than just sending out an internet blast to somebody saying, hey, I'm looking for a job. So
Absolutely.
I think making that personal contact can
yeah.
be very important.
Yeah. It's all about relationships.
All about relationships.
Because you'll have a lot of people that do have the skills and the strengths and the problem solving. But it's more a matter of, you know, connecting with somebody else, building the relationship piece. That's how you get remembered.
Right.
Yeah.
I know there's some people who want to start that second career. Now, this is probably a smart thing, but I don't know if you find that this happens very often, but before they retire. So maybe mm-hmm. on the weekends or after work, they kind of start pursuing that goal, and then they feel a little more comfortable about jumping out of the federal service and moving into that
oh,
next
absolutely.
Stage in their life. What are some of the things, have you noticed people who do that? What types of work lends itself to that sort of thing?
Well, a lot of people are comfortable in turning hobbies into businesses.
Something like
I work with a woman who's a federal employee. And she loves to bake. And and she's been pushed her whole life, do it professionally.
That's probably not something she did as a federal employee.
No, not
so this
at
is
all.
One of those ones who's doing something completely different.
Yeah, very task oriented job. So
yeah.
this was like her form of therapy. It was therapeutic, like some people do gardening.
So, you know, I
she
like that
baking.
Sound of that
yeah.
kind of second career. Something, it sounds
yeah.
fun, but you can make some money at it. And certainly something people don't have time to do themselves anymore.
Absolutely.
So
and,
I'm sure she can make a go of it.
Yeah. What she did was she baked a whole bunch of different products. And she's very creative, so she put pretty wrap around it. And mm-hmm. she went to some of the specialty stores.
Oh, yeah.
The higher end
so
stores.
So on consignment, basically. Yeah.
And she really developed. She's got quite a business going.
So,
and with her, she's limiting it because she doesn't want to take it to the next level, which then has you leave your home kitchen
right.
and, you know, go out and start.
Or hire employees
yeah,
and do that kind
whole,
of thing.
So she's keeping it where she wants it So she's controlling it more.
Mm-hmm.
But it is the type of thing where people can take what they have. They can take hobbies and develop it into, you know, very profitable businesses.
I think federal employees are kind of unique in the ability to do that, because when they do retire, you know, most employees, when they're eligible to retire, they're also eligible to keep their federal health benefits as a lifetime coverage.
Right.
They don't have to worry about finding an employer to offer them health insurance. And their pension, their, shouldn't call it a pension, their annuity, their federal retirement benefit is something they can receive regardless of if they're working or not working.
Right.
So a lot of people are worried that if I leave federal service, will my pension or my retirement offset my new salary? And the answer is no. Your FERS basic benefit, your civil service retirement is going to come for the rest of your life, whether you don't work or you do.
Right.
So those are two big advantages that employees have leaving federal service and starting something new.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think sometimes people, and I'm always telling them not to be concerned about this. Some people have a really clear view of how they think retirement will look. Some people don't have the slightest clue.
Right.
And to me, they're all in the right place at the right time. Because if you don't have a clue, when you start to plan, and planning really is the best thing you could do, you then can set things up for yourself.
Right.
If you're a person that even likes structure, like a lot of people's worry is, what am I going to do Monday morning?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you're used to having those 8 hours a day taken care of, and now you have to do it on your own.
Right. And that, you know, some people become really lonely. Even if they haven't made the best friends at work, you're still used to people walking by your office, you know, grabbing a cup of coffee, water cooler talk, and here you are, you know, at home now. And so what I tell people to do is, you know, form some structure in your schedule. Make a schedule if that's what
plan
you need.
Plan out your day.
And other people are, you know, now I'm going to sleep late. I'm going to relax.
They're looking forward to that unstructured time.
Yeah.
I guess people are different in those ways.
Yeah.
I think that's important to distinguish what it is that you are.
Right.
When
right.
someone would want to contact you, like I know you meet a lot of people through the seminars, but I'm sure someone could call you up and say, Susan, I'm thinking about leaving federal service.
Right.
What are some of the things you would do with that person? How do you help them through this process of figuring out their life after retirement?
Yeah, well, some of the things that we do, we first we'll do some values work, because I want to see also, and sometimes it's very new for the person to see themselves what their values are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do they enjoy doing? What would they like a day in retirement to look like?
To really make them sit down and think about it, because I think we just dream about it before we go to sleep at night, but we don't really sit down or write it down or really visualize it concretely.
Right. And it's nice. A lot of times when it just remains in your head, it's much more effective if you take it and write it down because it starts to become much more concrete.
Then you can help them kind of guide them through what they're thinking about.
Yeah. And we'll brainstorm different ideas, find out, you know, What do they like to do?
Did they really enjoy their federal job, or is there something else that they've been always dreaming about doing, I guess?
Yeah, and even if they didn't enjoy everything, because most people, there's a part of any job where you just don't like a certain part of it. So, okay, it's like, what were your strengths? What were your skills? And, you know, what did you enjoy about it?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's very important to take the things that you really enjoy and put more of that piece into what you want to do.
Right, because I know I talked to a lot of people who the one thing about their federal job that I think they feel is even aging them is the stress level.
Right.
Because they are so under pressure, and they have deadlines, and they have to get this done, and they have someone else breathing down their back. So I find a lot of people want to relieve the stress in their next job. So I've had people say, oh, yeah, I'm really looking forward to being a greeter at Walmart, more or less facetiously, but I think they're looking for that type of job that doesn't have those same demands.
Right. And also, I think what helps a person once they are setting goals, like I'll work with somebody, they might not have a clue on what the goals are, and we'll set them together. Or some people really know, and they'll come with goals, and I'll serve more as an accountability partner.
Mm-hmm. Make sure they're thinking clearly about.
Yeah, and that there's somebody to be accountable to. So whether it's a coach or it's your spouse or it could be your adult child, when you know that you have to, you know, quote unquote, report to somebody,
right,
it's much more effective and efficient.
I guess it's that way with Weight Watchers or any of these other groups that you go to, that you have to be there every week and tell what you've done, how you've gone through the week.
Exactly. Because when you know that you have to do that, there's that little extra push that you do. And it's like the person who jogs outside, and if it's a rainy morning, they're like, nah, I'm not going to go.
Too rainy, too hot, too cold, too wet.
Too this, too that. But if they know that they're going to be meeting somebody.
They're counting on them.
They're going.
That's right. Yeah. Susan, if somebody wanted to get in touch with you to ask you more questions or to hire you to help them, right, how would they reach you?
Well, they could. My email is susan@selftalkcoach.net, S-E-L-F like Frank, talk, coach, it's all one word, .net. My website is www.selftalkcoach.net, and my phone number is 301-706-7226.
Say it one more time, the phone number.
301-706-7226.
Very good. And if anyone wants to call in this morning, we're here on April 12th live until 11 o'clock, so you have about another half an hour to call in. It's 202-465-3081. I think we're going to take a short break at this point, and when we get back, I have some more questions and some more information from Susan.
Things just don't happen. You need a plan. A federal career can last 30 years or more, and so can federal retirement. Tune in each Monday at 10 a.m. to get the information you need to plan your course for financial security, solid benefits, and optimum health care. 100% focused on the federal employee for your benefit. Presented by NITP has the answers to your mid-career and retirement planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit Mondays at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio for an hour that can change your future.
While you're at work, decisions are being made about how you do your job, now and in the future. What sort of new regulations will dictate how your agency fulfills its mission? Listen every weekday afternoon from 3 until 7 for The Daily Debrief with Chris Dorabeck and Amy Morris. They bring you the latest news and explain how it will impact your world. Chris and Amy ask the questions you would ask. The Daily Debrief with Chris Dorabeck and Amy Morris. Weekday afternoons from 3 to 7 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, is the home of the Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Jane Norris. Weekday mornings from 6 to 10, Tom and Jane navigate the world of the RFIs, RFPs, circulars, executive orders, and regulations for you, the federal manager and contractor, and deliver news, perspective, and analysis in plain language to make your agency and company more efficient. Tom and Jane speak to newsmakers and analysts live to get to the details on the latest mission-critical news and information. The Federal Drive is federal news from the inside up. The Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Jane Norris. Weekday mornings from 6 to 10 only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.
Good morning. Welcome back to For Your Benefit. This is Tammy Flanagan here with our guest this morning, Susan Samico. And Susan is a certified business and life coach. She does positive self-talk in facilitating lectures, and she does training for NITP as well as private industry as well. So we're very happy to have Susan here to talk about our life after retirement, because we always spend time on this show talking about our money and our benefits. But we don't spend as much time thinking about what are we going to do with our time after retirement. So Susan is here to help you with that. And we were talking before the break about what it is that she does to help you kind of guide you through the process of thinking about the things that you're strong, your strengths and your values as far as using those in a job search or a volunteer type of employment or work that you might want to do after you retire. So, Susan, we were also talking about when you do get that interview, someone wants to hire you.
Right.
What is that like today? Because some of us haven't had an interview for a job in 35 years. Yeah. So what should we prepare for?
And it's very different than how it used to be. Job interviews today usually begin with telephone interviews. And after you've passed that screening, when you do go into interview, it's usually a panel interview.
Wait, back up. Telephone interview, because to me that would be very uncomfortable because I gauge a lot on looking at people and seeing their expressions.
Right.
So is that unnerving for some people?
It's, well, yeah. They're just not used to it, especially, you know, boomers. It's just, you know, we're used to that, you know, face-to-face contact.
I do know from my own experience, if you're smiling when you're talking, it kind of shows through in your voice. So that might be a hint for some people, I would think.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's also, you might go through a couple of telephone screens But it's something that you want to get comfortable with because that is the way that the process begins. Mm-hmm. And that's how the weeding out. And when you do go into to interview, it's not really a one-on-one anymore. And the whole focus is...
So you have a whole panel of people talking to you, which can also be unnerving for someone who's not used to that process.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's just so night and day from what we're used to. But the important thing is to go in and to feel confident because you do have what to back you. You do have the skills and the strengths. It's just, you know, what you want to do is, depending on what job you're interviewing for, what the company is, which you want to find out as much as possible, mm-hmm. so that you can then show how you can give measurable results, something concrete with your skills, but that'll work in their company.
Yeah, because they'll probably ask you questions about why do you want to work for us, or
right.
some of those questions that you really want to have some inside knowledge of who you're interviewing with.
Right. A lot of the questions that you're asked are problem-solving mm-hmm. type of questions. And they want to see how you would handle a situation.
And I guess it goes without saying that you dress for the interview as you would
absolutely
30 years ago. We still want to put a suit on or a business wear. We don't want to go in there in jeans and a t-shirt.
Even if you're going into an office where it is jeans
casual.
And t-shirt, you still show up as a professional.
Right. And then you can gauge it from there once you get the job, once you land the position.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? Well, what other things do you do when you meet with somebody? Do you give them resources? Do you sit down and show them places where they can do some homework?
Yeah, in fact, I'd like to share a couple with the audience because there are some websites that are wonderful. And one of the things that you can do just, you know, automatically is if you're looking for something, Google. Go straight to Google and put in your area of interest,
keywords,
the location, and you'd be amazed at what pops up. But there are a lot of websites that are very useful.
Sure.
One of them is SBA.gov for Small Business Administration.
Would that be for someone who wants to be an entrepreneur?
Yeah, it's free online program on how to start a small business.
Oh, okay.
Which is,
do they also provide service, like if you call them up, would they have people that can kind of walk you through that, or that you can hire people at SBA, or do they just have pamphlets and information?
It's well, you can get through to somebody that mm-hmm. could definitely help you
with There's specific no, questions.
Yeah,
you might
it's
have.
Not just, you know, like a tape,
right?
Okay. So it can go a little further.
So that's SBA.org.
Gov.
Okay.
Gov. So SBA.gov. There's also something called score.org, and that's it's free workshops for retirees who want to start a new business.
Does it help them decide what type of business, or does it help them actually start the business?
Yeah, because there's different areas. Like right now, the main areas that are out there for, even if you're just looking for a position as opposed to your own business, mm-hmm. the healthcare industry and the retail industry, customer service skills, that those are the most highly sought type of skills that people are looking for right mm-hmm. now. Particularly in the healthcare field.
Well, that leads you to something else, like maybe getting retrained, because you may not have those skills or they may not be up to date. So maybe the first step is to get some additional schooling or training in those areas.
Which you can really do if you even just Google in the community college or state university or private in your area, like around here. It's fairly, I mean, it's Johns Hopkins in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
They've got wonderful programs that are for people and skills.
Plus, it'll tell you if that's what you really want to do now that you see how things have changed
Absolutely.
With technology and not the same world it was 30 years ago.
Absolutely. And there's something called Green Thumb, which is a nonprofit provider specifically for mature and disadvantaged workers.
Okay. Greenthumb.org?
Greenthumb.org. Right. And, There's a whole bunch. There's one, a website, NARF, N-A-R-F-E. And I suggest people just go on and just Google.
Oh, NARF is one I'm very familiar with.
Right.
It's the National Active and Retired Federal Employees Association, who they do have wonderful services for retirees in all areas.
They really do.
Whether it's finance, whether it's benefits, whether it's looking for a second career. I really do support that organization.
Right.
I think they're great.
They are. They're good. Seniorsforhire.org, and it's seniors and the number for hire.
Okay.
There's seniorhelpwanted.com. I always recommend also just going into like your local library as opposed to just doing it on the internet, because you then find all the community papers.
That's
you
true,
can
too,
see what's
the up-to-date
going on.
Information.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know that's the old-fashioned way, but it's an effective way.
I know when I go to EPA, I always work with a woman there who is retired, but she's working through AARP.
Right.
And they have a program, I guess, to help seniors find jobs after retirement.
Yeah, there's so much that's out there that's offered. You can also contact social service agencies. I mean, almost all the large cities have them.
How do you help people get over the fear of, you know, here I am maybe 55 or 60-something years old, mm-hmm. and I'm going on an interview competing maybe with somebody half my age?
Right.
Is that an issue? Is that a problem? Or do people really have a fear about that? Or is do they look at that?
There are a lot of people go, and why would they hire me? Mm-hmm. You know, and the truth of the matter is that boomers have a lot to offer. Not only the experience, the skills, the strengths, they're loyal, they're mature, very low absenteeism. They're not looking to go in somewhere and move out and move up. They're looking to go in and stay.
Mm-hmm.
Once they are in a place, as I mentioned earlier, it's more because it's something that they want to be doing. There's like a purpose and meaning as opposed to just the financial piece.
Do you find people have success when they go on to these job search sites like Monster.com or, you know, the places where they list all the available jobs?
Right.
Can you get a job that way? Is that realistic to think that I can just go there and find, oh, I like that, so I'm going to submit my resume online?
Right.
What's the chances of me getting a call that actually I might get hired?
Yeah, well, the things like that, Career Builder, Monster, mm-hmm. This is what I've learned that has shifted in the past 6 months. Even if you send your resume in, mm-hmm. make sure that everything is up to date, that you're using current, you know, styles and forms and trends. One of the things I do want to mention is if you use some buzzwords, because it's, you know, it's good to know in every field's got buzzwords,
mm-hmm.
only use it if you have the depth of knowledge to back it, or you're going to back
yourself.
Is this
going to come up in the interview?
Absolutely. And it will just, the interview will be over if you don't have what to back it with.
Well, what do you know about web technology? Well,
right.
I don't know. I've heard of it. Google search.
Right.
So, yeah, you do have to have that knowledge or experience in that area, which I think a lot of federal employees come from the advantage that some agencies do offer updated training and skills. And so you do have that up-to-date knowledge that you're coming right out of the workforce.
Government's great with it. And so when you do send resumes in to the different sites, and Career Builder and Monster are probably the
biggest.
Most, don't just send it once. Chances are they get so many at the beginning,
mm-hmm.
but what I've been hearing from other people and from research myself is send in your resume a few times, spread it out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It probably won't get looked at the first time because they get inundated.
Right.
But if you do it a couple more times, I have clients that have gotten interviews from it.
Is there a way, or should you call the company that you're submitting your resume to find out if they received it or what's the status?
Yeah,
or
you can ask for confirmation.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really like to be called.
Okay. So that may be seen as a pest.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that could be, you've got to be pretty careful with that,
mm-hmm.
As far as they've got their procedures you wouldn't get any work done. You just have people calling you all day because literally the resumes just keep coming in.
Are there some things like that would go on a don't list, like don't do this or, you know, try not to do that? Or are there some negative things that you want to make people be aware of that they should stay away from or that they should try not to do when they're presenting themselves for an interview or putting on a resume or even in looking for that job? Are there some things that you see as common mistakes people make?
Yeah, I mean, once you even get in there, it's important to show the confidence. What's important before you even begin the process is, you had mentioned self-talk,
mm-hmm.
and our self-talk, that's our inner dialogue or our thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to be aware of what you're saying to yourself, because most of the time we're our own worst critic. So that if you're basically saying, oh, I'm not going to get this, I'm not going to, you know,
it'll be
a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Oh, geez.
So you want to be confident when you're in there. You want to like shake your head in a way that's, you know,
positive.
And the handshake and the looking in the eyes and being aware of different cultures do different things as far as, as Americans, that looking in the eye and the firm handshake, women or men, that shows confidence. Other cultures, you know, like the Asian culture, you're not supposed to look in the eye. That shows disrespect.
To learn a little bit about the culture of the company the people that you're going to be meeting with. Yeah. I guess that's a wise thing to think about.
Yeah, just really be informed. It's important to also know what your goals are and to know about the company so that you can say to them how you believe you can make a measurable, you know, contribution. And the key to that is because although we know it's illegal for them to ask age or whatever, right. I mean, people have eyes. Yeah. And so the way to get to push the conversation away from age, mm-hmm. things like that, is more to focus on what your contributions could be.
What you can offer.
Yeah.
I remember this was years ago. It might even be 30 years ago, if I'm really dating myself. I took a class when I was a federal employee back when I first was getting started. And it was a class for secretarial skills. And the teacher was from outside of federal service. And the one thing she said to me that I'll never forget is she said, if you stay in government a long time,
right.
people in private industry are going to hold that against you. So be careful. Is that still a stigma that federal employees have this reputation for being whatever, lazy or non-performers or things like that? Is that something that we still see? Because yeah. I don't see that when I meet people in federal service
yeah,
today.
I don't see a lot of hard workers. At all. I see a lot of hard workers. I see people with just great character.
But I think it's something if you are going to go on a job interview with a private sector company who maybe doesn't hire a lot of feds,
right.
maybe to impress upon them what a hard worker you are and how much you've worked through your federal career and what contributions you've made during your career. Because I think sometimes that still might be the case. You know, I hear that in the media sometimes about federal employees having that reputation, which is
right.
definitely not true. I don't see that in my own experience, yeah. but I remember that woman always saying that. It kind of gave me a little bit of a little bit of worrisome in the back right. of my head. It's like, well, what's wrong with being a federal employee? It's
right.
great benefits, great pay, you know,
right.
great absolutely. People to work with.
Yeah,
and you're making a contribution.
Absolutely. I've not experienced anything but hard workers.
Good. That's so, good to know.
It is good to know.
Because I know you work with both federal employees as mm-hmm. well as private sector. Do you see right. a difference in the culture between federal employees versus people who work in private industry?
Well, people that are in private right now are feeling much less secure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you just don't know it's affected.
Because of the economy?
Because of the economy. And you're just not seeing as obviously as many jobs out there, but you're also seeing people that in maybe a different economy, they might change or do something else. That everybody's kind of holding on tightly.
Trying to reinvent
to what
themselves
they
to keep their jobs yeah. and not
and
be,
sometimes taking lower pay.
And maybe doing more work.
Yeah.
And I think that's the opposite too. With the federal service, we see a lot of growth going on because
right.
there's programs that need more federal employees to
right.
manage. Even with healthcare reform, I can see there's going to be a need for more right. employees. So I think it's almost the opposite where employees are looking to come work for the government rather than
absolutely.
Leaving federal service to go out into private industry in some cases.
Absolutely. I've got a few people that I'm working with that were private sector that are really trying to get into the federal government.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to yeah. see over the next few years if we see a lengthening of the time. Because right now the average federal employee, according to OPM statistics that I've read, works about 4.5 to 5 years beyond their first eligibility. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people do stay on, you know, they become eligible and then
right.
they continue working for a few more years. But I wonder if that'll lengthen with this kind of uncertain job market and the climate that we're in economically.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I from what I've been listening to with people in the workshops is that they're staying on longer.
And I think the other thing, too, I think people who are leaving federal service to work in private industry maybe need to keep in the back of their mind is the fact that as a federal employee, you're all about the rules and conforming to the laws of the land and making sure mm-hmm. the work that you do meets those rules.
Right.
You're not so much worried about the bottom line as far as a profit, because
right.
most agencies, you know, they're right. not all about profit. They're just trying to stay within their appropriations.
Right.
But when you go to work for a private company like Lockheed or IBM, you know, they need
bottom
to make money.
Line.
You know, they need to make
right.
money. So whatever you're doing for them needs to, how can I make more money for my
right.
company? So
right.
I think that's another thing that people have a different mindset coming
yeah.
from federal service.
It's the bottom line is just about, you know, what's the profit?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. What have you seen with contractors? Do you work with a lot of the government contractors as far as hiring and recruiting? Are they looking for people with security clearances? Are they still recruiting as strongly as they were maybe 10 years ago?
Yeah, it depending on the agency. There's,
mm-hmm.
and I guess whoever's been given more monies to work with, some of them are hiring on. I literally was in one agency where they were stressed because they were given quite a bit of money that they were like,
How are we going to spend it all?
You know, and it was like that was what their stress was. Mm-hmm. You would not hear that in private sector.
Well, I know working in federal service previously, you have appropriations for the year, and if you don't spend them next year, you're likely not to get as much money.
Exactly.
So you always want to make sure you make good use of those hard to come by appropriations that you use to run your agency.
Yeah. And I'm a boomer myself, and I was a federal employee, and my father was, my brother was, it's in the blood.
In the family.
And so it's like, you know, I really get it as far as the private and the federal. And that's why it's like you're just seeing more people that are private trying to get into the government. And that part has not been easy.
No, there's much more competition. Yeah. I'm noticing, too, when I see job announcements for federal jobs, that even to get what we used to consider a fairly low-paying job, maybe of the GS-5, GS-4 level, they're looking for college degrees.
Absolutely.
And I know back in the day when I was hired, high school education would get you in the front door and you could work your way up through the ranks.
Yeah, no.
So now it's much more competitive.
It is extremely competitive. You know, and just like it is out there for people finding, if they can't find a job, they're tending to go back to grad school or law school or, you know, something. There hasn't been an area that it hasn't rippled into.
That's interesting.
Yeah. But it's just, it's important to be positive and to create positive structures for yourself. Sit down and think about what your goals are. What do you want from retirement?
Now, when someone hires you to work with you on this, do you stay with them until they land that job or figure out what they want to do? So it usually requires multiple meetings, or is one time and then you kind of put them out on their own? Like,
yeah,
how does that work?
It's different for you know, each person.
Individual.
Some people come for a specific goal. Other people, you know, I'm working with some people since I've started that we just do like a once a month. Usually if you're just beginning,
see if you're on the right track.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I call it like a tune up.
Yep.
But when it's somebody who's beginning, it's usually more frequent initially just to get a really strong, effective and efficient start.
Now, what about someone who comes to you that says, you know, Susan, I'd just like to take a year off. I've worked for 35 years and I just haven't had a chance to breathe. Right. So do you think that's okay if I take this next year and just do my gardening and read all the books that have been stacked up and then think about what I want to do a year from now?
Oh, absolutely.
Is there any danger in doing that, or is that a good idea?
The first thing I would do is just check out with your financial person, make sure that you have the finances to support you.
Mm-hmm.
Because to do that, when you don't know what your financial situation is, that can be really scary.
It can be risky, but you don't see a risk in saying, well, a year from now, I'll still be marketable. I'll still be able to find something to do.
Absolutely. There's no problem with that.
Yeah. Or I may find that, boy, there's not enough hours in the day to do all the fun things to do. So I think forget about that job search and I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing and enjoy life. Because I think, like you were saying before, there are some people who are very structured, and then there are some people who can handle unstructured time.
Right, because they want the spontaneity. And the important thing to also keep in mind is that although retirement is a transition, even when transitions are positive, we just as human beings have a tendency to resist change.
Yes.
It's the one thing that's consistent is change.
Well, and I think that's another personality trait.
Absolutely.
Because I know with me and my husband, I just thrive on change. I mean, it's exciting to me to do something different,
something
new.
More that free spirit nature.
Exactly.
Yeah.
My husband, it's just like no matter what we're changing, whether it's what we're having for dinner tonight, oh, we've never made this before, dear.
Monday meatloaf.
Yeah. So it's, even though it might taste good and he likes it, he still like balks at it at first glance because he really likes the routine and likes things to stay pretty much the same.
Absolutely. I work with this, it's a personality diagnostic, but it's like 7 questions, takes 5 minutes to do, and you self-assess. It tells you what your type is.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, more importantly, it tells you your strengths. It tells you what I call an Achilles heel, and then how to overcome it.
Yeah.
But it also teaches you how to communicate in other people's styles.
I think that's important because if you don't know where you're coming from, how are you going to know where to go?
Right. So you have somebody like you that might be the risk taker. And that was probably an extremely attractive quality that your husband saw in you.
In me and him, because I saw stability and you know, things that stay the same, which I like, you know, things to be mixed up a little bit, which
it
isn't always
well.
Good.
Right. Well, and a lot of people that have more of that risk piece, there's been a trend of people going to places like Costa Rica. And I just say, because they want it, they have that adventuresome piece. Mm-hmm. They want a new culture, a new language, you know, wherever they end up going. And you just have to be really careful to research wherever you're thinking of, because even though places like Costa Rica could look beautiful with the water and the whole, there's also an area that has a lot of dirt roads, a lot of rains, so a lot of mudslides.
You know, as you get older, you worry about healthcare.
Yeah,
exactly.
You want to make sure that no matter what you do, you've researched where you're going.
So you get into that with people as well, not
Absolutely.
Just what they want to do, but where they want to live.
Where they want to go. And I highly recommend not buying something your first year. It's enough of a transition to just have the retirement phase. Mm-hmm. And it is phases. People do have to shift that mindset, that most of us are going to be in that mindset for 30, 40 years.
Yeah. And I've also heard this, and I don't know if you see that in the work that you do, that retirement in 2010 is not the same as somebody thought about retirement in 1975 or 1957. We're looking at working longer, being productive longer. We should, hopefully, if we're lucky, be healthy longer.
Right. Right.
So we're not looking at that retirement of watching the grandchildren three days a week and, you know, volunteering at church the other two.
I'm glad you said the grandchildren part, because there is this natural assumption from adult children that you're automatically, you're retiring, you can become the babysitter. I just tell people, make sure you set really clear boundaries and limits. You know, have everybody's expectations be out there and be realistic, you know, and decide.
You don't want to be taken advantage of.
Right.
Which can easily happen, because I think you let it happen to yourself.
Right. Right. Just like sometimes when you do retire, some people automatically go to live where their child lives. You have to think about, what if the child gets transferred?
You know, you move again.
You really have to think about what works for you personally.
There's so many things to consider.
Yeah.
And I guess the best time to start thinking about these things, just like we do with the benefits and the finances,
right,
before you leave.
Absolutely. The further away, the more clear the view.
I always kind of think that might be the reason why people work beyond their first eligibility, because they become eligible and think, oh, wait a second, I've worked 30 years to be eligible, and here I am, and I don't know what I'm going to do next.
Right.
So it takes them the next 4 or 5 years to figure out what that is,
right,
you know, and how they're going to get there.
Right. Because the closer you are, the more questions you have. Usually the more questions you have starts in that what if, what if, what if.
Right.
Creates anxiety, that, you know, anticipating what you don't know. I often urge people to just be as present as possible, not to hang out in the past, not to hang out in the future. Just to, you know, you can think about it, but you don't want to get stuck in either place. You want to be as present as you can be and really live your life.
And it can be overwhelming, I would think, as well. Just thinking of so many possibilities of things I can do, and how do I kind of narrow it down to the thing I am going to do.
Right. And even sometimes when people know what they want, they get that, what I call like a stuck in cement feeling. Mm-hmm. You know what you want, but you can't take the step.
Can't get there.
And when I'm working with people, I always encourage them to take baby steps. I'd rather have a slow, steady incline than this big leap where you just smack into a wall.
Yeah, and then you can get discouraged probably a lot easier.
Yeah, you get stuck.
And I think another resource, like you had mentioned, NARF, the National Active and Retired Federal Employees Association. If you attend a meeting where there's other people who are already retired and they're making their life work, that maybe that could be comforting and also offer some ideas of what can I do.
Absolutely. When you speak to somebody who has already experienced it or is in the process of, great place to, just like when you're thinking about where to live, there are some people that would do great in a, you know, retirement community. Somebody else might go, oh, I don't want any part of that.
Yeah, I don't want to be with all generations. Yeah. I don't want to just be with retirees.
So you really have to investigate.
And I know that, I know me and my husband are thinking about maybe retiring in a different location, maybe down in Florida. So we've been looking in that area, and we've made some trips down there. And I've noticed there's even places you can rent long-term rentals. There's homes in communities where we might think of living that they offer rental homes that you can live in for 6 months or a year.
Right.
And I thought maybe that is a smart move rather than just dropping everything and buying something.
Absolutely. I'm working with a couple who, and this had been a few years ago when it started, but they had purchased a place for in a golf community in South Carolina. They didn't know anybody down there. They were away from family. They sold during, you know, when the market started to shift. It ends up that they didn't like being down there. And when they wanted to come back, they couldn't afford to come back.
Jeez.
So you just have to really go into things with your eyes wide open.
Take it slow.
Yeah.
What about volunteering? Because we've talked about second careers and resume mm-hmm. writing and looking for a job, but I think there's a lot of satisfaction in just giving of your time and not necessarily being compensated. Because for someone who can afford to be retired, maybe they would like to pursue a volunteer. Where right. would you start looking for volunteer opportunities? Where are those?
I always suggest to people that they volunteer in something that has meaning to them if they don't know where to start. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, if it could be anywhere from an animal shelter to a nursing home, schools, hospitals.
So almost in your own community, there's probably
churches,
a lot of opportunities.
Synagogues. I mean, there is something out there for everyone. And I usually tell people, join quite a few things. Mm-hmm. And then whatever doesn't feel, what doesn't resonate with you, just let it go.
Right. Try it once and see how it goes for you.
Because we're not of that generation where it's easy for us to let go. We feel like, you know, commitment. But if you just join something and it doesn't work, let it go. Just go towards the things that basically light you up.
Right. And I know there's a lot of global opportunities now, too, with, mm-hmm. you know, this our world
everywhere.
Is becoming smaller. So
Absolutely.
Some people might want to check out working in a community in Africa or South America.
Absolutely. Peace Corps is a
there.
Big one.
Yeah, Peace Corps, Church have mission opportunities,
right.
so there's a lot of places you can plug into.
Habitat for Humanity, that's been very popular with retirees because they're usually short, intense type of work. You know, you go, you work for a couple months, and then, you know, you have your time to do what you want.
Right. How do you control your time? Because, you know, as a job, you know I'm going to work 40 hours a week. But when I retire, do I want a part-time job? Do I want to work right. full-time again?
Right.
Do I want two part-time jobs?
Right. And there's a big difference between is it a have to or a want to.
Mm-hmm.
When you have the part-time, there's, of course, much more flexibility.
Right.
You have to evaluate each to see what fits in your lifestyle better. And if you do have a partner or a spouse, you want to make sure that you have your couple time, your self time, your work time, you know, whatever it might be.
Right. You don't want to. Yeah. What was that old saying? I married you for better or worse, but not
right.
for lunch. So you don't necessarily want to impede on your spouse's personal time
right.
as well. So maybe it's a
right.
good discussion to have.
Yeah. Your
as
time,
far as what you're both
my time,
do.
Our time.
Right.
And our generation, because we are the boomers, a sandwich between parents that are living longer and our kids. So we want to make sure that we just include if you want to take time for yourself, because mm-hmm. I often think of the airplane emergency instructions. It's like put the oxygen on yourself before you put it on a child or anyone, because you have to take care of yourself first to help others.
Right. And that's something else that you help your clients with is
right.
to kind of sort that out and figure
right.
out what you need to do.
Yeah, give some clarity, focus.
Yeah. Well, we're winding down to our last minute. So are there any other things we didn't cover that you want to make sure you let people know about, or any final thoughts on planning for that life after retirement to make sure that you leave our listeners
yeah.
with?
Just to make sure that you leave some time for planning. I think planning really helps. It gives you a much clearer view of what's coming up. And to make your retirement conscious and intentional. Choose things that you want in your life. Just live your life and whether it's the structured or the spontaneous, there's something out there for everybody today.
Right.
You know.
And you can learn more about these things by attending a seminar. I know our company, NITP, Susan
right.
is one of our presenters, does 3-day retirement seminars at a lot of federal agencies.
Right.
So you can see Susan and learn more about transition planning through an NITP seminar or through a seminar held at your agency, possibly through somebody else. But it's becoming a very popular
right.
topic and something people are realizing they need to spend some time planning for their
right.
life as well as their money and finances.
Right. And the fact that somebody might even be listening to this today, you're already on the road to planning.
Right. So a very interesting topic. We're so happy to have you,
yeah.
Susan.
Thank
and
you for having me.
Website again was what?
It's www.selftalkcoach.net.
Okay. Well, thank you so much and have a
thank
great
you.
Week, everyone. And we'll see you next Monday.
You've been listening to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP. Please tune in next Monday at 10 a.m. for a topic solely devoted to you, the federal employee. The show can also be heard 24/7 on federalnewsradio.com. Thanks for listening.